Om Shanti. Good morning. I just want to share the format for today. Anthony's going to talk on this subject for about a half an hour, and then it's going to be open for interacting with us, our questions, our comments, our clarifications. And in between will be about 5 or 10 minutes of silence so that we can absorb what he says, because we know his classes go so deep. So keep a note of where you'd like more clarification, because we have this wonderful opportunity to really be with him and draw from him. The subject is instrument consciousness, and it's looking at the whole issue of I and mine, and the truth of humility. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
Good morning, Om Shanti. I'm sure we have heard many classes about what it means to be an instrument and what is the instrument, but you know, I think we all understand that it's one thing to have understanding, it's another thing to have awareness. It's one thing to know things, it's another thing to practice. And certainly the aim of all of Baba's teachings and Baba's care is for the soul to have a stable strength inside. So strong is this spiritual energy that it cannot be affected by anything, not even the old self cannot affect that pillar of spiritual strength. And this is the an instrument has to have this strength to be able to cope with all the different things that come. Because if one negative thing penetrates the instrument, then that certainly is going to affect, not completely, but certainly going to affect the service that is around. But one thing that always stuck in my mind about instrument consciousness is when I was listening to the Muli and Baba was saying, according to the drama, I have been made the instrument for purification. And I thought, you know, this is God speaking, the one who is the supreme, the one who's completely pure. And he says, according to the drama, I have been made the instrument for this task. And I was thinking, when I heard that, I was thinking, this is what purity and humility is all about. To know yourself so well, to know your destiny so well, to be aware of who you are, to value what you are and the task that is given to you by drama, but at the same time be so completely detached. Because, you know, if we get attached to what we are, then there are many problems. If we don't know who we are, there are also then many problems. But Baba gives the soul understanding, and then with that understanding, and the understanding doesn't have to be in detail, understanding is the basis of understanding is acceptance. For example, I'm giving the knowledge, I am a soul, this is the end of time, you are an instrument. Baba has given us many blessings, whether in meditation or whether we get those blessings through seniors. I understand them, but it's very important to accept them. And understanding and acceptance creates faith. And what's faith? What is it practically? Faith is a very, it's a very concentrated, determined, positive energy. And Baba has said, it is this that makes the impossible possible. Where there is this faith and this power of faith, it means the soul has overcome the barriers of how and why. It doesn't need to go into processes of these things. When there's not that power of faith, then there's more need for process. You know, there's more need for detailed analysis. This doesn't mean that there's no need for any analysis, but not that analysis which cripples me, not that analysis where everything has to be set out. The power of faith is like, it actually started with understanding and acceptance, but, you know, since I've accepted it, then this faith then will be, allow the soul just to go through anything without thinking about it too much. And so this is, well, the quality really, the main quality of an instrument is really this. It's this power of faith. And together with that is that since I belong to God, since I belong to His task, then as Karvan Karavanha, the one who moves everything, He will enable the soul to move in whichever way the service is asking for it. And so instrument has to do a lot with this surrender. You know, surrender. I'm surrendered. I belong to one. You know, one of the biggest problems with many people, even within the family, is sometimes they don't feel they belong. It causes a lot of sorrow, this feeling of not belonging. But until I really cancelled the old body conscious contract of belonging to people, until I remove that dependence and that need, it's very difficult to feel a nourishing belonging. Because when I feel a nourishing belonging, that is when I take it from who I am, as God has told me, as Baba has told me, when I really feel that the relationship with Baba is very functional and living, then this sense of belonging is going to make it very easy for me to belong to the drama. Because the scenes of drama are unpredictable, the actors in the drama have moods, they change, they this, that. And if I expect them to make me feel to belong, you know, I'm going to be disappointed. But this whole thing of surrender, instrument and surrender, I give myself to one. Because it's the most valuable partnership I have found now. And then this is a matter of not just faith, but it is a matter of understanding. Baba has given me this understanding. And surrender is actually a part of successful remembrance. What does it mean to remember? How does an instrument remember Baba? Or anybody, not just instrument, anybody. What do you do? How do you explain remembrance when somebody asks? To think of God. To think of the qualities of Baba. No, it's not really to think. Remembrance is not thinking. Remembrance is being in the awareness and having that experience. And for that type of remembrance to really function and to succeed, it requires, what happens is that the soul is surrendering and also absorbed. Yeah, this absorption into the one. And this absorption, this remembrance makes the soul feel really, it really belongs. And then Maya may come, but the soul understands its relationship, its partnership, its aim, it understands it. This is its focal point. So it doesn't, you know, it may shake, but it won't. Baba, what does he say? The boat may rock, but it doesn't sink. And then the other aspect of instrument consciousness is trustee. We have often heard the definition of trustee, you know, nothing is mine. But what does that mean, nothing's mine? Anyway, we can discuss it later, but I'll just define it a little bit. Because there are three things that get in the way of being a trustee and therefore in the way of being an instrument. It's to reject, to neglect, and to attach. These three things pollute that clean feeling of trusteeship. And for example, to reject someone, to reject something, you know, detachment what the trustee's main virtue is the detachment, but it's not a detachment based on rejection. Real detachment comes when the soul is able to integrate, you know. I integrate spirit and matter. I integrate, you know, alokik, alokik. Such a soul who has this talent of integrating without becoming dependent, without being influenced. Now, this is trusteeship. But sometimes when there's fear, oh, I might get attached, or I don't like this person, or I don't like this, then I reject. Could be a very subtle thing. It may not happen, you know, verbally or even so consciously. And another thing is neglect, which is sometimes even worse than reject. When you're rejecting, you can become aware of it. When you're neglecting, you may not become aware of it. Now, I'm neglecting to study properly. I'm neglecting to put my mind in concentration. Like, for example, I sit in meditation, but it's not real concentration. It's a type of just relaxing. But I'm neglecting what I'm really supposed to be doing. You know, because also my mind, I'm in trusteeship of my mind as well. I'm in trusteeship of this body. It's not just a trusteeship of physical things. And so when there's neglect, when there's a type of carelessness, then diseases come up that are very subtle, and then it doesn't show itself until it's quite further on down the line. Then it takes a lot more time to get rid of it. But initially, the reason that we get emotional diseases or spiritual diseases is actually because there's neglect. Because trusteeship means to use. Doesn't mean just I put in a corner and look at it and say, it's not mine. This is not trusteeship. Trusteeship means to use. Because if I don't use, then nothing will ever grow. And then, of course, attach. This is clear. This is clearer. But, you know, when we attach, when the self becomes attached to things, then the purity disappears. And this is especially to service, you know, that I'm a trustee of Baba's service. It's not my service. And then it starts to be polluted with just personal needs, you know. Service is not the place to fulfill needs. Is it? Or is it? My relationship with Baba, my relationship with myself, this is what actually will fulfill my needs in a very non-violent way. I'm not concerned with taking. I can take from God, of course, but that there's no bad consequences. Because one of the characteristics of a trustee, of an instrument actually, is to serve, you know. There's dying, transforming, you know, loving and serving. You know, an instrument, a trustee, is, you know, getting into all of these patterns. Very powerful. You know, I die to the selfish self. I transform the useless things, the unnecessary things. And then, you know, I start to really have spiritual love for my own self, for Baba, for the family, for the tree of, you know, the whole tree, all the souls. And then that love is able to really give nourishment to others. When love gives nourishment to others, it means they are able to understand themselves and value themselves. Love is able to give that gift to others. So I have to be in a state of trusteeship, though, for that actually to happen. And another aspect of instrument is guest. Often we hear this expression from the daddies, go beyond. Go beyond, you're beyond. But sometimes, but I've got these bills to pay, and there's not enough in Baba's box, or this student is acting like this. Go beyond.
Go beyond.
So how do you reconcile going beyond and living with the reality of here? And this is a very it's a very interesting challenge, but the guest means that my consciousness is not limited by the needs of the personality. You know, I want this, I have to have this, this has to have a solution right now. When I have the guest consciousness, the soul is able to go beyond, connect, and then the consciousness, which is based on thoughts, on feelings, on attitudes, on motives, this consciousness starts to become very spiritual, very positive. And because otherwise the soul can be lost in getting annoyed, getting confused, getting afraid, getting angry. And how long does it take to become a guest in those situations of confusion or anger or hopelessness or whatever may come? How long does it take? 1 second. Baba often says this, doesn't he say? Jivan mukti, mukti in a second. Do you believe him? I didn't at first. I thought Baba's, very poetic, he's sort of, talking about time in a very nice way and how things can be quick. But actually, when you start to practice these things, that you realize the deeper truths that are in Baba's directions or in what Baba is saying in the Muli. So actually this 1 second, many things happen in 1 second. Like in 1 second, when I just, I step inside, I let go, I concentrate on the basic, whether it's the original power of peace, whether it's the power of Baba, in a second. Because it's so important that in very difficult situations, on whatever level that difficult situation may be, I have to be able to quickly go inside myself and touch base. The quicker I can do it, the more then stability will come into the situation. And this, it's like in 1 second, I am a soul. Now, the I am, I'm in the present, I've turned within. And this neutralizes many things externally. I move away from trying to work things out and judging them. Just in 1 second, turn within. This is a very, very useful practice, which we don't do usually. Because we've gotten into trying to analyze to find solutions. Where very often you just need power. You don't need just a lot of intellectual exercise. To some extent, yes, of course, to some extent. But in many, many things we know already. Even with classes, already some of the things, but the point is the power within. How do I get the power within? That when Baba has said, yes, be a guest, how do I become a guest? And this is the whole practice, this 1 second, this one thought. Now I go within myself and stabilize. Because that base of peace and purity is so, so necessary, more and more. And the only thing that will refine this and liberate me from waste is the practice of going within quickly and strongly and feeling very connected. Because inside the base is purity and peace. When I experience peace, I go beyond violent reactions. Those violent reactions, it can be anything. It can be, a lot of fear about something. Or, anger or dislike, whatever. And purity is not to be influenced. I'm unaffected. It's like the canopy of Baba remains there. And again, we know these things intellectually and theoretically. So how to check it? You know, what I do sometimes is I make a standard inside myself. As soon as I start to see myself getting disturbed, you know, I can, no, you're going the wrong way. For anything. And sometimes after you've done it, you realize you did it. It's okay. Now I know the patterns. It's very important to understand how the mind works. I used to say once, yeah, just become detached and watch the mind. But I realize not even watching the mind. It's like saying, watch television or watch this sort of, you know, they have these funny video games for kids now that are pretty violent. They can't just watch it and be detached. You get influenced by what you watch too long. So what I realize, it's very important just to, you're the soul, I the king, and I'm observing. And I'm seeing these thoughts coming into my mind. Before I used to think, you know, why are they coming? And look, it's that one. But it's so easy that as you're watching, you get trapped in it. Actually, some souls don't even watch. They just get into it straight away as an emotion. But, you know, there are many steps. So the step after watching, actually, or beyond watching, is actually go beyond. You know, okay, this is happening. What I must connect with, not is in the analysis of how it came or what it is. I've got to connect to my original pure self. That is what I have to do at that point. Because otherwise I can get trapped, even with a good motive. I want to understand what is happening, you know, and I don't want to have bad feelings. I can get pulled. I just need spiritual power at that moment. So I have to connect with the self and really with Baba. And sometimes people say, oh, this is a connect with Baba. It's a cliche answer. But then I said, but do you do it? Do you do it? You know? See, one characteristic of really an instrument is they always keep the basic knowledge new and fresh. It's always new and always fresh for them because they always use it. It's like Daddy, you see it with Daddy Chanky. Yeah, I'm a soul, I'm Shanti, you know? Depends who says it, eh? It's a powerful vibration. Or it's just, you know, a routine phrase. It depends. Depends on what? How I personally use it. Baba can give me power, but I have to cooperate with him to empower myself by, you know, really practicing those basic things. And what interferes in practice for instruments often is their intellect. Intellect is overdeveloped sometimes. They know all the answers. But now I have to give class or workshop on every topic. Which is good, but if I only work in that way, then when it comes actually to situations, if I haven't had the dharana, then I'm not strong enough to go beyond it. And this is often why we lose often our self-respect, is because we keep doing the same things very often. I don't like what I'm doing. And I don't want to, but it keeps happening. So what to do then? You know, yes, this is where I have to practice this basic thing. And the basic thing is keep attention on my inner self. Basic. And this is what we talk about, silence power. Silence power is not a power that, you know, I stay in silence for an hour. It can be. That can also be tapasya. But also these 1 second, 1 minute exercises of really connecting is also silence. And in that moment, if the soul does it properly, if the instrument does it properly, then there's, there's liberation. There's a feeling of freedom from any waste, even in the atmosphere. And one thing is that when we go beyond thinking and go beyond ideas and opinions, when we actually can connect with that self, the original self, I don't feel that, you know, well, but I have to know this and I have to know that in order to succeed, for something to work. No. What happens is that if I do that exercise properly of connection with I am a soul with Baba, you just get this deep feeling of trust. I trust, like faith. They're very connected, faith and trust. And with the trust, the feeling of trust, I trust first of all drama. It takes a lot of stability to trust the drama when everything externally appears very unbeneficial. But drama is our partner. Drama is even the partner of God. Baba also observes the drama. And Baba is, you know, knows when to step in and when to step out. And Baba can also help an actor, cooperate with an actor within the drama, especially his instrument children. He'll cooperate a lot. He'll be able to help that soul change certain scenes of the drama for itself. But the soul often, what you find always is the soul who has a real deep faith. The soul has very deep faith and very clean intention. Not only, Baba certainly cooperates, but also, you know, the drama in itself starts to cooperate. And when I trust drama, it means also that, oh, it must go right now. Huh? It must happen like this now. When I trust drama, I don't have those demands. I don't have those expectations. Yeah. Trusting drama brings the soul patience. And then trusting the original self. You know, everything that I need is in me. And Baba's often used the phrase, to face adverse situations with the original power of your stage, of the self. An instrument soul has to start to do this, really to do it. Because sometimes the companions are not there, the seniors are not there, many things are not there. All I have is me. Me and God, and Baba, of course. So to use that. Patience, you see, patience doesn't mean to wait. Patience means to recognize the flow of things, and that, you know, at that moment it's best to flow with it, you know. And then, of course, trusting the Father, trusting Bab Dada. He's making and he needs angels, you know. He's creating them and he needs them. So, you know, definitely he's going to give the cooperation the soul is asking for. And the more that the soul really has these qualities of trusteeship, acceptance, faith, then and its relationship and friendship with Baba is very strong and true, then, you know, it moves beyond its own needs. And because it's very important in service, if the service is to be permanent and authentic, it can't be influenced by selfish needs. I mean, a lot of conflict happens mainly in service. In dana there's not conflict, maybe with yourself or some things, but in service this is where it happens. Because this thing of mine and yours and, you know, all the things that come from that. Whereas if I don't have needs, I won't get into conflicts. I always have the royalty to know how to step back, and also the confidence and the signaling from drama how to go forward, how to step in. Om Shanti.
You can be reviewing your notes, or you can just go into an inner mode. Maybe picture your own service center or your own life and see how all of this applies to just your practical situation. And then we can see where we go from there to really make best use of Anthony and our own experiences in life. Does that work? Om Shanti. This is probably our first meeting in which we're not actually breaking out into small groups of six and really giving ourselves time to articulate our own relationship with the topic. So I hope this short period of being able to share with a neighbor has fulfilled some of the needs that are usually fulfilled with a small group. But now I would like to invite anybody who would like to share something with Anthony to feel free to do that. It might be a favorite point that touched your heart, or just in a natural way, let's just continue what Anthony started, but more in the form of a conversation. I don't know how to do that in a room of 80 people and only two microphones. Does anybody have any suggestions? But is there a third mic, brother? If we have a third mic, maybe we could put it up here on the chair, and anybody who'd like to come up is welcome. Whilst we're waiting for this third mic, Anthony, it was interesting. You and I were just talking. The instrument better have resolved this issue of belonging for herself or himself, because it's a big one out there in the family. This complaint, I don't belong, or it's not a family. As an instrument, how are you responding to this complaint, demand in the family?
Depends who it is. Because some people have the habit of just complaining about anything.
Hear, hear.
So I have to handle that in a different way. Other times I think, you know, I should be more loving rather than knowledgeful, you know, because sometimes people, you know, they know what to do. They don't have to be told again. I think a very important thing to, on the part of the instrument also is encouragement. You know, encouragement is a very powerful energy that really helps others a lot to feel that they belong. But you know, it's very important, especially for instruments, that the more they belong to Baba, usually the more they are able to do these things for others. But if there's a gap inside them about how much they belong to Baba and getting that experience, then it's very difficult actually to engender this belonging in others, you know. But at the same time, sometimes some students can go beyond the instrument also, and they listen to Baba and they feel immediately they belong. Also, that can happen. There's a spectrum of situations and people, and so it's very important to be able to feel the pulse, whether it's of myself or others. But if you ask me one word, I think it is this encouraging, you know, to be able to encourage others.
What are you encouraging in them, this relationship with Baba?
Well, this the encouragement that things take time, they need patience, to keep believing in themselves, and also encourage them not to rely on the instrument. You know, I'm not a substitute. You know, the butter is the butter. You know, margarine is something different. And
instrument consciousness, margarine consciousness.
That because especially. It can happen also without people realizing this, you know, depending on instrument and also depending expecting a certain perfection And sometimes I have to be very clear in this, you know. I mean, I'm making my efforts as well, you know. The things that I'm working through, yeah.
A few simple practices that would make an instrument feel that she belongs.
But for students or for instruments?
What some things, some practices for an instrument to increase her experience of belonging?
Well, one thing has helped me is, you know, study with all my heart and not all my head.
I think we should all applaud.
Because really this is so important. I'm doing that research towards the perfection and towards the purity in the self. You know, I have to study well. And study means the Morley, but also means my day. Study situations, research situations. And I think a very important thing is to learn to spiritualize things, you know, whether it is in my work, whether it's a particular talent. Then there will not be things that take me away into taking unnecessary support, you know. I can take wrong supports. When I start to take wrong supports, I will not have the feeling of belonging. I take support from the role. I take support from achievement. I take support. Where is my support coming from? Is it traffic control?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Traffic control. Please feel free. Any other thoughts? Yes.
In the beginning, as you were identifying the whole process for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, what struck me is that, are there any particular motives, intentions, or if you can identify any structured motives so that we come to know and the process is easily seen? Because I thought that it was so deep that I'm not able to command it. I can't understand it. So, I mean, if there are any particular motives in academic sense, if I get, I would easily be able to know that I'm getting trapped, you know, in these processes.
Yes. Usually you can't tell the motive at the time that you're doing it. Usually it's afterwards. For example, if I've done service and everything seems to be externally well, but I'm not happy. I'm not content. Somehow I'm comparing. Or if there's something that is not, you know, doesn't make me feel content or well, then maybe something in the motive or intention maybe was not quite right. And I wasn't aware of it at that moment. Usually you're not aware of the motive at the time that you've decided to do something. It's usually afterwards. And this is where I have to be very honest, because further down the track, as the consequences of that motive become apparent, it's very important not to project blame onto other people or to situations. Oh, that's because they did this and they sabotaged this or that, you know. One thing that makes me lose my integrity is projection, you know, when I blame things, I blame people. I'll lose my integrity and I'll lose my dynamic of moving because I put all the responsibility out there. Even to blame my old sanskaras. Even to blame those, I'll lose my dynamic. But you know, this, the main thing with motive, without going into the detail, is that the motive is selfish. You know, I'm for me, the ego me. Yeah? So selfish motives, they just block. They can't be the real generosity. They can't be the easiness. If a person has very, you know, if the motives are spiritual, it's always easiness. But see, it's not a matter of listing this. It's a matter that as I'm you know, I'm living my day, I'm seeing how I'm living, the quality of my living, then I'm able gradually to pinpoint things in my personality that create the blocks. Now, even if I explain to you, you know, selfish motive, aggressive feeling, all of this, okay, it's maybe like that. But the way that I really learn is that when I do these things systematically, and get to the question of belonging, you see, I will belong to the teacher only to the extent that I'm having a certain dana. You know, otherwise I will not feel I belong to God, the teacher, the one who is truth, because my dana is not there. I may know about it, I may study it,
I may fake it.
Yes, but actually, and then even the faking or whatever, it's usually there's a kind of sorrow afterwards. Sorrow, not in the sense of crying, but a sense of emptiness. And this one aspect of people who feel they don't belong is this emptiness. It may not be great sorrow, but this emptiness.
You know, it makes me think about something Dadi says from time to time, and this gives sustenance to it. You know, she'll look at the whole large class and she'll say statistics like, there isn't even 5% of you who are doing Baba's service. Or she'll say, there isn't even 5% of you who are doing the real work. So this kind of explains that.
So I remember Daddy once saying, you know, in my day, she said, in my day, when I was a student, we had knowledge, yoga, dana, service. But what I noticed, the modern trend is first is service.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you see this thing of studying and learning and just having quiet time with Baba doesn't need to be, you know, hours and hours, even 15 minutes in the morning. Whatever, you know, that quiet time. Sometimes I'll use service as an excuse that I don't have the time to do that. You know, in the morning I've got to cook the ball game, I've got to prepare this. So, or, you know, sleeping a lot after Amrit Vela, you know, like people do this. No, it's one thing when one is tired and one needs it, but if it becomes a habit, you know, because I'm telling this sometimes to the people where I'm staying or where I am, you know, that vibration goes out. And then how can I tell the students to be on time for class? How can I? You know, it's just not going to work, is it? Because the vibration is the real speaker. It's not here. Now I'm telling them, you know, be on time for class. You know, meditation starts at 6 o'clock and this and this and that. But then, you know, if I'm sleeping after I'm about, or I don't go down till, you know, later. I'm okay. Sometimes this, I mean, I have to deal with certain things. But there's a great power in example. You know, when there's an example of, you know, like they feel honest example, that also gives them a feeling of belonging to the right place. Because there's, you know, a unity between the thinking, the saying, and the doing. The, you know, the primary unity is this.
At any point, if anyone is thinking of something they'd like to share, they should feel free to come up. Anyone, even if we have more chairs, it's okay. At the right time, then you'll be able to share your question.
Om Shanti. I firstly like to say, while listening to Brother Anthony, I was getting a very warm feeling inside, and it was like he was putting into words that I couldn't put into words, but I can feel. My own personal experience about this topic is, I'm in a very unique position in my service field. I'm in a position where I don't have any official title as a teacher. I don't have an official title of a center, and yet Dadi Janki has placed me somewhere, and I have such complete trust in her and Baba, of course, that I never thought to question why why here, why not somewhere else, why like this, why is it like that? And as the years have gone on, I've realized what a great blessing that's been, because I'm not constrained by the limitations of any name, of any position. And though that's brought difficulty, it has brought tests and difficulties, because outside recognition is one thing. But for me, it's been the most liberating thing, because I'm just so free. I said to Dadi, all I want to do is give happiness. I just deeply don't like to see sorrow in anyone. And if someone comes to me, I just want to give them happiness. And for me, that's what my instrument role is, wherever it is and as it is. And I find that Baba finds that. He'll find the souls who need that happiness. Because if I keep that motivation, if that's my feeling, then that will come to you. And that's all service is for me. And I'm very, very happy in this place. Mm. And another thing that Daddy says is not to think too much. And I really understand that. I can't explain, perhaps, with that clarity that other teachers can, and Daddy could. I can't explain it, but I do deeply understand the wisdom in it. And I know what I do. If there's a situation of a problem, instead of talking about that, all I do is I just go and sit in front of Baba's picture. That's all I do. And I just look at Baba, and I see Baba looking at me, and I just say to Baba, I'm checking with myself, are my intentions clean and pure? What are my motivations? Are they honest? And I feel Baba looking back at me, and everything's fine. And that's it. That's my answer to everything. And really, truly, the things will resolve themselves. You know, if students come to us, yes, you have to talk about things. You can't say that to them. You've got to sit and work things out. But with BKs, I have a very different feeling about issues. If a BK comes to me and says, this isn't right, something should be done, that he doesn't do anything, these are the kind of complaints, you know. I don't feel like talking about anything, because I do really believe that there's a wisdom in whatever's happening. And I remember Dadi Janki once saying, she said, if you really were concerned about putting something right, you wouldn't talk about it. You would just get on and do it, which is an internal effort. And all I'm concerned about as an instrument is, as long as my intentions are pure, I'm doing everything with a clean heart, it's not for myself, Baba is going to do the rest. Om Shanti.
Thank you.
My name's Gyan Meera, which was given to me by Bab Dada, and I'm from UK.
Well, that point was very good, you know, from what Daddy was saying, that if you're concerned with putting something right, just do it, don't talk about it. And this is what gossip usually at, is what it's got to do. Who's doing it right? Why they're not doing it right? How we know how to do it better or do it right? A lot of wasteful talk in that.
Brother was saying that when we make mistakes, that's when we start using the head more than the heart, and we lose.
And one of the things with the heart is that to really use it properly, you know, I have to be quiet. The more silent I am, the more that then, you know, those original good feelings come out, and then that is what enters the intellect. And the intellect filled with the heart, or filled with more loving feelings, is able to understand things much better. Yeah.
You were sharing with me something that Brother Nirvibhai was saying in the meetings downstairs.
Yes. Down there. You're downstairs, I always think it's a room. I've got to use this, but you know, usually... upstairs, downstairs. Yes, what Brother Nwe was saying, that if actually we really have the power of silence, then especially issues dealing between people, and with you, even with one's own self, if you really have the power of silence, a lot of these things are solved. And because the power of silence doesn't mean just not talking and not saying anything, or just, you know, shutting off. the power of science is that I start to use the original powers of the self, the soul.
Can you hear him? It's very hard to hear.
I've got to speak into it more. Silent, I'm being silent.
What's the power of silence?
Yeah?
What's the power of silence? I hardly heard it. Can you just say it again?
The power of science is to connect with... The power of science at the conference stage is all about connection and like an invisible and silent expression from that connection. It's not said. Yeah? Now, love is not what you say. You don't say love, but you are that. You know, you've opened that up. Or good feelings. You don't say, I have good feelings for you. These people will feel it if you have or not. This is the power of, you know, silence. You know, you can repeat it.
You've got the humble instruments, and then you've got instruments who are very visible, and often a lot of what's going on is for show, and we can learn so much from those who are maybe what you could call a genuine instrument for God, not for show. So steps to move us in the direction of becoming a genuine instrument.
You know, always, it's got nothing to do with official position. What it's got to do is with the position that one has inside. If you're seated inside properly, then what happens is that then there is respect from others. And when there's that respect from others, there is a natural cooperation. If something's not clear, because there's a good relationship, you can talk about it. Yes. Yeah, I mean, the question was, is it okay to talk about it? It, I presume, it means some misunderstanding or disagreement. It's okay, but you see, you've got to see on the level. See, if I've cultivated a good relationship with people, then I will have the confidence to be able to be clear. And this is the work of an instrument. People should not be afraid of the instrument. They should not, you know, Daddy once was saying, I never want to use authority, I want to use just the position of being a brother or sister. Yeah? So, and if people are doing service for show, and it's clear they're doing it for show, you feel mercy. You don't condemn them, because if something is not real, then the person in time loses. Why for me to add to it by feeling self-righteous? Well, they're just doing it for show, or this is all this. Doesn't matter. Let me do what's right. And to things that are not quite right, mercy, compassion, understanding.
Well, some days ago you spoke about transparency. Mm. And my question is very direct. How to be transparent if I am, as an instrument, I am not perfect now.
You can be transparent about your imperfections. Anyway, people see them anyway. I don't think it's a matter of having to say anything. You see, transparency is not to do with perfection. Transparency is to do with honesty, sincerity. Yeah, like if I'm sincere and honest, people don't mind usually if there are some weaknesses, but I'm very clear about them and I don't condemn other people while ignoring my own weaknesses. This is what, nobody likes this. Nobody. And so transparency is just to be honest, to be where I'm at, you know? I don't try to prove anything. Yeah, I'm still a student, I'm learning, and it's okay, you know. And also, appreciate where I have come to also. It's not, it's always been downhill anyway, it's been up. Actually, this is where we're going up, we're not going down.
That's faith.
Yes.
Faith in yourself, and giving value
and
to
being realistic also. You know, sometimes people think to be realistic is only to see weaknesses, but to be realistic is also to see spiritual achievements and growth and all of that. That is to be realistic.
And give yourself value.
Yes.
Okay, we're finishing up. Does anyone else have one last thing they want to bring out?
Thank you.
We can do that. Om Shanti. Maybe we just take a minute.
A moment. A second. Is a minute too long? A second. And you add up the seconds and they become a minute, and it's a lot. A lot of good thoughts.